Abtreibung ist in Polen so gut wie verboten. Dafür hat Ende Oktober ein Gerichtsurteil gesorgt. Dabei hatte das Land schon vorher eines der strengsten Abtreibungsgesetze in Europa. Zehntausende demonstrieren dagegen in Polen und auch in anderen Ländern gibt es Protest. Über die aktuelle Lage in Polen sprechen wir in dieser Folge. Willkommen bei Solidarität, was können wir tun? Mein Name ist Eva Morlang. Vor 2 Wochen waren die Massenproteste in Polen auch in deutschen Medien ein großes Thema, aber dann ist es irgendwie zwischen US-Wahl und Impfstoff ziemlich untergegangen. Dabei ist die Lage in Polen immer noch explosiv. Ich spreche darüber mit Carolina. Sie ist Aktivistin und engagiert sich in der Initiative Aborcine oder Abortion Dream Team in Polen. Das Interview führen wir auf Englisch. Hi Carolina.
Hello.
You are part of the organization Abortion Dream Team. Can you tell us about it? What's the organization doing?
We are an informal group of 4 friends, I would say, who had been involved in abortion activism and abortion work for a long time in different contexts and in different background. And in 2016, we met in Warsaw and we decided that we should talk about abortion with pills, medical abortion with pills, abortion at home, home abortion, whatever you call it, because we realized that although abortion had been for already 6 months a very hot topic within the women's movement and the new growing pro-choice movement, but the knowledge about medical abortion was really, really, really low. And we knew from our experiences that this is the most popular method that people use to end their own pregnancies. So we decided that we should spread the knowledge about this because we had this knowledge, because we knew a lot about pills, about how to get them, about how they work, what one should expect when it's when it's necessary to go to a hospital and things like this. So we met in October 2016 to have an open meeting about medical abortion at home. And it was a success. A lot of people attended. There were a lot of questions and we realized that it's very much needed. So we decided that, okay, we should do this again and again, and we should start going around Poland. But going around and talking about abortion at home was one of is still information, advice, and supporting others in abortion with pills is one of our top priorities, our main goal, our like one of the 2 goals basically. And another one we started implementing in our work because we had this channel, also the fan page, was is destigmatizing and normalizing abortion as a common experience that many people have, that it's not a political statement, not a political declaration, but just an experience that many people have despite their background, despite their education, their professional situation, their economic situation, their beliefs, whether they are Catholics or not, and who they vote for, or if they vote at all, you know. So we started realizing that a lot of statements that pro-choice movement is making by saying that we don't want abortion, we just want a right, nobody wants an abortion, abortion is always a difficult decision, and things like this, that this is not what people with abortion experience want to hear. That people with abortion experience don't want to hear that there are those feminists in Warsaw who march and fight for those who out there have abortions and things like this, that there are, you know, it's we and them. No, it's us. What they want to hear is, it's okay you have one. There are a lot of people like you. You're not alone. And it's okay, whatever you felt before, during, and after your abortion is totally normal and fine. You can have mixed emotions and your reason is fine. You don't have to deserve your abortion. You don't have to justify it to anyone. It's your decision. It doesn't have to be the best one, as long as it's yours. And it's we realized that we have to do this, and we started doing this, because in all political debates and also the debates within the pro-choice movement that we had been a part of for years, of course, that we forget and we forgot for years about those with abortion experience. We talk about them and not knowing much about them, you know, and not really also revealing our own abortion experiences if we have them and things like this. So we realized that the only way to change the narrative about abortion is to make people believe that it's not something wrong, something bad, that it's normal, that it's okay. And, you know.
Okay, so it sounds like this topic has been ongoing for a long time in Polish society, and you've been working on it for quite a few years now. But we in the media in Germany got a lot of attention on this topic lately with this new decision by the Constitutional Tribunal. Maybe can we walk a little bit through these past couple of weeks? What exactly was this decision that happened in late October that sparked these mass riots?
It's been a topic for 4 years because of the fact that for more than 4 years, because of the fact that Law and Justice is in
the
power.
Peace Party, the so ruling party.
The Peace Party, yes. The ruling party that is very much, very conservative. And people are afraid that, you know, they are capable of doing, you know, even worse things with the existing law that is already very bad, because we do not have access to abortion as such. We only can have abortion within the Polish public healthcare system in three cases: when the pregnancy is a result of a criminal act, when there is a threat to a person's health or life, and when there is a serious malformation of a fetus, fetal abnormalities, whatever you call it. And the rest of people, and global research says that it's even 97% of people who terminate pregnancies because they don't want to be pregnant, they don't have those three reasons, they are left alone and they have to travel abroad or take pills at home. For, you know, since I started my activism, it's been forever now. But the one in 2016 made people like go to the streets because people were afraid that, okay, anti-choicers had been trying to do it a lot, but now peace is in power, so they can change it. Like, people really believed that this conservative party will do it. And that's why it's such a hot topic. And they never did. They never adopted any law presented by civil initiatives, you know, presented by anti-choicers. They didn't do it in 2016. They didn't do it with the next draft bill that is just, you know, pending in the parliament forever now. And but they also did not do anything with the parliamentary draft bill that was presented by left side. The fact is that PiS does not really want to do much as a party with abortion. They really believe in that law. But there was a motion presented to the Constitutional Court by 40 MPs, those who are, you know, the most conservative within this party and other parties in the coalition. And they asked the Constitutional Court whether it is within the scope of the constitutional provisions on the right to life and the freedom of discrimination, if we like allow as the state, I mean, allow for an abortion based on this, you know, eugenic provision. I hate it, but that's the language they use. Of course, it doesn't have anything to do with eugenics, but still they use that, you know, that this is a eugenic abortion, like this is like choosing who is to live, or, you know,
what do they mean with eugenic which one is the one, the hygienic one?
The fetal malformation, the fetal abnormalities, they say that it is a eugenic practice.
So if it is likely to have a disability,
so they say, because that's the only point of the act of the law that they put into constitutional court. They say like, yeah, to save a woman's life, okay, if she was raped, okay, but not this, because this is a eugenic practice. This is allowing for eugenics. Mm-hmm. This is saying who's to live and who's not, and you know, all these ridiculous things. And they put it in the constitutional court. It waited in the court for quite a while, and I don't know if you're in Germany, probably are familiar with the fact that peace also had been and has been, you know, continuously destroying the justice, the independence, judicial system, making it not independent from the legislative and from the government. So it's really the constitutional court, the way it operates now, it's really not even like, there are many doubts about the fact that it's even has this legal power, you know, because of the fact who's sitting there and the way they chose the judges and the way they did everything. But yes, majority of the judges, 10 out of 12, are the peace judges, right? So, and another thing is that there was the first case. There was the first case in 2020. In the middle of the pandemic, they decided, you know, let's do it.
You think they chose the timing really to do it in the middle of the pandemic to have people protesting less?
Yes, I think so. I think that might have been a case, although, you know, when there was a debate in the parliament, also in the during the pandemic and in the first half of the year, also people went to the streets. So I don't really think that they are that much afraid of this or anything. It's just that, you know, they know that people will say what they want, will say their anger and everything. So, and you know, there is not much people can do, you know, if you have a case in the constitutional court and, you know, they decide a thing, you know, and people go to the streets and, okay, whatever, you know, we take police and, you know, just take care of them.
So you think the protests haven't really had any impact, or have they had an impact in the end? Because there was this, I thought like the Polish government said they would somehow delay the abortion ban, or they...
Yeah, it's really hard to say what was the impact of the protests, because it really is hard to say what's the goal of the protests. I think everybody has their own agenda. They go to the streets and it's like, you know, most people who are on the streets, it's not even about abortion. It's about, you know, government, fuck off, you know, it's the most. So it's just, you know, for many, it was a reason just to go to the streets and like this spark that, you know, make people
express
go
express their anger, yes, also about other
about
things.
Everything basically. Another thing is that many people were there about abortion, but it's not that they want the same thing, you know. Many people want, like, just, you know, allow, like, keep this law. A lot of people are like, no, we don't want this law, we want you know, abortion freedom, we want, like, we don't want this abortion ban that we have already, you know. And a lot of people are like, you know, they have different agendas, so it's really hard to say whether there was an impact and what the government took from this, and what, like, you know, how big role in that the protests had. It really is hard to say, you know, when you are not there and you are not, you know, listening to what they're saying, and it's like, okay, let's do something about that because people are on the streets, or, you know, maybe this is too much what happened, or whatever, or it's like just the damage control, or this is really that the government does not want this change. This change was just, you know, in a way intended by only those 40 MPs, and the court just took it because basically, you know, in a way they maybe didn't have that much choice, you know, because, you know, they had to take. So it's really hard to say. But yes, the government is now, like, the parliament is doing, like, okay, maybe really this is too much to say that people who are pregnant and they know that they are gonna, the damage is just so, you know, like, it's developmental, for instance, damage, right? So it's like the fetus is just does not have a chance to develop, even to survive the pregnancy, and mm-hmm. birth, and you know, so it's not that it will have a disability, a child that is going to be born, but there will be no child, like no person to be born, because they want, you know, mm-hmm. so maybe we should not allow for, you know, we should allow for an abortion in this case. And you know, because the narrative is also around the fact that we, like, there are a lot of ableist really things said during the protest, that we don't want to give birth to such children, you know, and it's, and some people do choose to give birth to a brainless baby, you know, and hold mm-hmm. this baby for 3 hours, breastfeed this baby, and, you know, say goodbye. Yeah. So it's not that, you know, we don't want something, we don't want to give birth to, you know, that baby. So there are a lot of things that also the movement has to learn. But the fact is that if the narrative is around, what about those babies who will die just right after birth, you know, who will not survive? What about those, you know, and they show all these pictures of, like, really, really, of fetuses that are not to survive the pregnancy even. So because the narrative is around that, not around the fact that you are taking away freedom of choice, you know, that has been, in a way, taken away from us from this point, that we have to search for another option, because, you know, we still can have abortions in these cases. We can go abroad and everything. So it's not that this, you know, we still have this freedom of abortion. It's that the state is telling us once again that you are alone in this. We won't help you. Yeah. It won't happen in our hospitals. Just whatever. We forget about you. And so, yeah, the reaction to this is, yes, maybe we should allow for abortion in these cases. So let's just, mm-hmm. you know, let's just decide which circumstances allow for an abortion and which not. You know, so again, this is another point in which we are saying that some abortions are good and some abortions are bad. So, okay, if you are raped, mm-hmm. your abortion is acceptable, it's good. When mm-hmm. you're saving your life, okay, you can have it, it's a good abortion. And now, based on fetal abnormalities, it used to be okay, but now it depends on an abnormality. You know, if your mm-hmm. fetus does not have a brain, okay, it's a good abortion. But if it has a Down syndrome, not really, you know, it's not a good reason. You are alone in this, do whatever you want. So it's again saying that there are good and bad abortions, there are good decisions and bad decisions, there are good mothers and bad mothers, you know.
It sounds like it's very far away from the actual reality,
yes,
of the women.
It's so far, like, our,
it's so theoretical,
it's yeah. so, like, it has nothing to do with reality. And that's what, like what we say in Abortion Dream Team is that we are the reality, you know, because yeah. reality is that people have abortions. And, you know, what's going to happen if you ban abortion based on this ground on another? People will travel abroad. People will, yeah. you know, order pills. And
they will find ways.
Yes, they will find mm-hmm. ways. More people will have abortion with pills in second trimester. And that's what's going to happen.
So what's a practical advice you would give to the listeners of this podcast who are now listening and want to support women in Poland and also want to support your organization? What can they do?
You know, we established the crowdfunding, but we already really have a lot of money, but you can still, like, use our PayPal or go to the link and support us. But also you can support your local groups. There is Ciocia Basia, there is Kumpela in Leipzig, there is mm-hmm. Aunt Franny in Frankfurt, somewhere is just about to start. So find your local group that supports people from Poland. Ask them what they need, if they need money, if they need people, if they need anything at all. You can also donate to Abortion Support Network. That is a charity in England that is paying for people's abortion, not only from Poland, but from Malta, from Gibraltar, from Ireland. And so, you know, it's, I would also say, like, support your local abortion gang, because that's the closest you can do, and you can ask them what they need. Spread the news about the fact that people in Poland, like, really have options, that it's not only dark and totally, you know, hopeless. Find, you know, and spread information that are that are true, that are not only, you know, this really dark visions, but that there are spreading news about reality, basically. So, because this is really what's going on, and it's very much forgotten by politicians and often by media. Although we have to say that a lot of international media approach us, and there are many.
It's just sometimes hard to keep it ongoing on the agenda, because sometimes it sparks and it has this peak, yeah, and then 2 weeks later it's gone again.
Exactly. So it's basically it really is. But, you know, be interested in that also outside this, because abortion reality means that, you know, it's all about the fact that people get abortions every day, despite you know, all these
whatever the law is saying.
Yes, yeah. And it is, you know, maybe even you know, it also is important to get interested in work of, you know, groups like ours, you know, when there is, it's small, like when there's not that much information going around in all international media, but have this when, you know, maybe there is less interest, but then people have like a there are groups that it's, because I'm not going to say that it's okay what we are having right now, but people who will, you know, who know about the fact that there are possibilities, they are not left alone. So we always say, like, once you reach out to us, you are not going to be alone. Of course, there will be limitations. And in some points, we're going to say, like, we cannot help you. But this hardly ever happens, because usually people approach us when there are possibilities. Yeah. So, you know, you just have to know that there are possibilities, and you have to approach us. And once you do, we are going to be there for you, and we're going to support you, because there are options. If that one doesn't work, there are others, but we know about all these options. So if you approach us, you will have full information about what's possible and what's not.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Carolina, for these insights and for your ongoing work.
Thank you.
We will also share all the links you were now talking about, like how people can reach out to you and maybe also some of the local groups here in Germany. Just thanks very much.
Thank you, Eva.
Ja, auch nochmal auf Deutsch. Vielen Dank an Carolina. Genau, wir verlinken die ganzen Organisationen. Das war jetzt die Premiere bei uns im Podcast, ein Interview mal komplett auf Englisch zu haben. Aber ich finde, man konnte sie sehr gut verstehen, und deswegen hoffe ich, dass auch ihr gut folgen konntet. Es war ganz interessant zu hören, dass eben Carolina sagt, erstens mal, das Thema ist schon viel länger eine große Problematik in Polen. Und sie machen mit ihrer Organisation ja seit 2016 schon kontinuierliche Arbeit. Und es geht vor allem darum, Frauen zu vermitteln, dass sie nicht allein sind, dass es Lösungen gibt. Ganz unabhängig davon, wie die legale, die rechtliche Situation gerade aussieht, findet man Wege, wenn man eine Abtreibung haben möchte. Und sie unterstützen da eben und versuchen auch, das Thema aus dieser Tabuzone rauszubringen. Und was auch interessant war, weil hier in Deutschland ja diese Massenproteste von Zehntausenden schon viel Aufmerksamkeit bekommen haben, dass sie sagt, diese Protestbewegungen waren eben auch nicht einheitlich, sondern da waren auch viele Leute, die generell ihren Unmut gegenüber der Regierung und der aktuellen Politik ausgedrückt haben. Also auch Leute, denen es gar nicht primär um Abtreibung ging, sondern die generell einfach wütend auf andere politische Umstände waren. Und auch innerhalb des Lagers der Menschen, die speziell wegen Abtreibung auf die Straßen gegangen sind, auch da sind sich die Menschen gar nicht immer einig, was die Motive sind, warum sie Abtreibung befürworten, oder auch welche Arten, welche Facetten. Das gibt auch da noch ganz, ganz unterschiedliche Meinungen. Wenn ihr Organisationen oder Initiativen kennt, die wir hier im Podcast auch mal vorstellen sollten, dann schreibt uns, oder auch wenn ihr ein politisches Thema habt, was euch sehr beschäftigt, vielleicht auch so ein großes, komplexes Thema wie das heutige, und ihr da gar nicht so richtig wisst, wie kann man sich da eigentlich für engagieren, dann könnt ihr uns ja auch mal die Aufgabe zukommen lassen, dass wir das ein bisschen auseinanderdröseln und da engagierte Leute finden. Ihr könnt uns mailen an solidaripod@gmail.com, oder unter solidaripod findet ihr uns auch bei Instagram und Twitter. Ich sage für dieses Mal vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal.